Senator Dick Durbin. Good morning, Senator Durbin.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm all right. Oh, wait a minute. You don't know. Are you kidding me? I think that's how I'm supposed to answer that question today. So let's take two on that. Well, go ahead and ask me that again.
How you doing, Scott?
Are you kidding me? How are you doing today?
Well, it's an interesting time in Washington, D.C.
Oh, let's get to it in just a second. First, I want to talk about the fact that you are staying in Washington, D.C. There were rumors flying around that you were going to take a shot at running for governor of the state of Illinois. That's not happening. Do you know who? Are there any names being bandied about of you? Give me one little morsel. Give me a story today.
Oh, sure.
Who's going to be running against Rauner?
But let me see. I'm not sure who will be, but several people are interested, and a couple have approached me. I will tell you at the outset, I said to people, I think the job of U.S. Senator could be pretty important for the nation and for the state. The day after the election, I can't tell you how many people said, turned out you were right.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we have a strong voice in the Senate in Washington. I'm glad Tammy Duckworth will join me here. But when it comes to the speculation about candidates for governor, it's at the earliest stages. The people who have raised the possibility are just in the earliest stage of considering it. Why are they being so reluctant to jump in? Well, let me start with this. In the last gubernatorial election, the incumbent governor, Bruce Rauner, spent $60 million, broke all records for his own election to the U.S., to the governor's position in Illinois. Pat Quinn, in comparison, sitting governor, raised 25. So he was outspent more than 2-1. We anticipate, having looked at the last election cycle that just ended a few weeks ago, that Governor Rauner is prepared to spend $100 million or more of his own money. And as we can tell, he doesn't have to buy a Powerball ticket. He seems to be doing quite well and has plenty of resources to spend. So when people are making this decision, they're thinking, we're going to face an incumbent governor who is going to spend more money than we've ever seen in the history of our state. So you take that decision very carefully. So let's name some names. Congresswoman Sherry Bustos is looking at it as one possibility. In addition to that, Chris Kennedy, a part of the Kennedy family who ran the merchandise mart up in Chicago, is taking a look at it. I've heard that Andy Menar, state senator from downstate, who has made some proposals for reforming the school aid formula, has a long history in the state Senate, is also taking a look at it. So those are three names that I have heard. I've spoken to two of them, and I know they're at the earliest stages, haven't made their minds up.
All right. Well, I heard Sherry Bustos' name last week, and I was kind of surprised by that. But, we shall see. I'm sure they're going to start making some noise here probably in the next 6 months, wouldn't you guess?
Well, but here's what they have to do. First, they have to, as one of the candidates said, I have to know whether there's a path to victory. I love that phrase, path to victory. You know, and if you look at an election that is almost 2 years away, I mean, you can imagine many different paths that lead to victory and many that don't. The real question is, do you have grassroots support? Are people excited about your candidacy? Are you offering something that the people of Illinois are hungry for and want to see? Can you raise enough money to wage a campaign and become well enough known? You're going to be dramatically outspent by the incumbent governor. He has so much money to spend. But if he spends all that money, can you still possibly win? You know, these are some pretty critical questions.
All right. Let's talk about the state of Washington, D.C. in transition right now. President-elect Trump, it's still hard for me to say, and puts some butterflies in my stomach. Let's talk about his transition team and the chaos that's taken place over the first couple of weeks. You've been there a long time. Are we reading way too much into this? Do we need to just let things settle down a bit? Or do we need to be concerned about how chaotic things are right now with this transition team?
Here's what happened. I say in the span of 6 days, I went through the full range of human emotions. In the Cubs parade, celebrating the World Series victory, and 5 days later, that election, which for a Democrat on a national level was a disaster. We did well in Illinois, but on a national level, disaster. So I went the full range of human emotions. I got up that Wednesday morning and I said, Durbin, what would you have expected if Hillary would have won? What would you have expected of the Trump supporters? Three things. First, acknowledge that it was a fair election and that those are the results. Number two, look for ways to work with the new president. If you're a Trump supporter, say, well, is there anything that I could do with this new president, Hillary, if it went that way? And third, don't give up your values. You know, you stand for certain things in life and in politics, but engage those values in a responsible, civil way. Those are the three things, and I'm trying to follow this, and sometimes it's painful. First one, was it a legitimate election? Well, the recounts are underway, and it's going to be in three major states. If they've all flipped, highly unlikely, it would change the outcome.
So let me interrupt you there. Why are we bothering with the recount? What's the end to that game?
Well, I can tell you that Jill Stein, who was the Green Party candidate, I think she was. I should know this, but I think she was Green Party. She got 30,000 votes in Wisconsin, so she's never going to win the state, but she's contesting the close election. I think the difference between Trump and Hillary was 0.3%. It was a tiny fraction of victory for Trump in that state. So the question is, were there irregularities? There's nothing wrong with asking the question, going through the legitimate asking of that question. You got to put money on the table to do it. You got to pay for the lawyers and pay for the cost and so forth. She said she'll do it, and she's raised the money to do it. She's added Pennsylvania and Michigan to those as well. Now, I might say the Republicans are doing exactly the same thing in the state of North Carolina over the governor's race. There's nothing wrong with it. It's legal. If you file the necessary papers, the recount takes place. Do I think it's going to change the outcome? I don't. But to satisfy his questions, and one of the questions is, what were the Russians doing in this election? Well, we know they were hacking into the Democratic National Committee computer. We know they were turning over their results to WikiLeaks that was releasing them toward the end of the campaign. Were they doing anything else? That's a serious concern. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. I don't want any country messing with America's elections. And if there's any evidence of that, let's get it out. If there is not, let's clear up any conspiracy rumors about it.
Okay, back to the transition. We know some names, some people's names that have been bandied about and have been named. Let's just start with this one, KT McFarland.
I barely know her. Years and years ago, she was in the national security establishment. I talked to President Obama about this particular area, and he said there's hardly any other part of the government more demanding than this Office of National Security. The staff in that office has to carefully read every single word of information coming through so the United States doesn't find itself in a vulnerable position when it comes to national security. I don't know if this lady, with her background many years ago, is prepared to accept that challenge. She apparently is. But it's right for us to ask the hard questions to make sure that the Trump administration brings in the right team to protect America.
National Security Advisor, retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn.
He said some pretty inflammatory things during the course of the campaign. He called President Obama coward in his speech at the Republican convention. I thought that was over the line. But, you know, in fairness, there were charges flying back and forth on both sides. I'm prepared to give him, you know, a clean slate. I want to hear what he has to say about the security of the United States. He served our country honorably, was honorably discharged from the military service from where I'm sitting. He's entitled to at least present his case for why he should be the number one person in America concerned about our national security.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Well, the funny thing is I was in the Senate gym this morning. I go there every morning for no apparent reason. And there was Jeff Sessions on the treadmill. He says, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, I want to, you know, I know Jeff. We're worlds apart in our philosophy. He is a conservative Republican from Alabama, but we've worked on some things together. So I want to sit down with him and ask him some tough questions about speeches he's made, positions he's taken, what he would do as Attorney General, because I know him better than anyone else whose name's been mentioned so far. You know, I know the pluses and I know the minuses. I want to hear what he has to say.
And Donald Trump is getting a couple of his billionaire friends involved here, including Betsy DeVos. He has her pegged Secretary of Education.
Well, she married into the Amway fortune. her maiden name, Prince, I believe, she was part of a family that made a fortune in automobile parts. They were the ones who invented, get ready for this, that the visor that you pull down in your car and it lights up with a mirror. They invented that. Made a bunch of money.
Wow.
So that's nothing wrong with making a bunch of money and wanting to spend some time in public service. That's good. She seems to be really committed to charter schools. I don't. I'm not a person who says I'm opposed to all those. All I want to make sure is we hold charter schools to the same standards of producing students who are ready to compete in this world. In other words, you don't give them special favors. You give them the same test you give public school students. We find, incidentally, on average, that charter schools aren't much better than public schools. There are some exceptions, so I'd like to hear her out.
And Secretary of Commerce, another billionaire, Wilbur Ross.
I don't know this man, but I read a little bit about how he's made his money. Some of it's been controversial, involving coal mines in West Virginia and safety questions. And he's in his late 70s, I think it is. You know, I want to know what they want to do with this department, you know, how they're going to promote American business. I start with an open mind when it comes to many of these nominees.
All right, here's a name you're familiar with. Todd Ricketts, who is part owner of the Chicago Cubs, as deputy secretary. First, what is the deputy secretary?
Good question. I don't.
You don't know.
Amazing special responsibility of the Department of Commerce, but you know he is. He's been a candidate for many offices. I know his brother, having watched him wander around Wrigley Field and have a big smile on his face when it was all over. His father is pretty outspoken, you know, politically. So I want to know if they're coming in with a political agenda. If so, what is it? What do they hope to accomplish? So I don't start with any prejudice against him because of the Ricketts name. I want to give him a fair treatment.
So explain, what function does a deputy secretary serve?
Good question. It's a good question. I'm sure it's an important job.
Okay.
Is it going to change the course of America?
All right.
Hard to say.
Okay, so maybe I could qualify.
If you want to send a resume out here, I'll send it on up to New York. I'm sure my endorsement will mean an awful lot.
All right. And I'm saving the best for last here. Your thoughts on, because, you know, I just don't think there was enough talk about this. We were talking about building walls and emails, and there was not enough talk about the selection of the next Supreme Court justice. How is that going to go? Are the Democrats going to be tough?
Well, listen, here's what happened, Scott. Over the last year after Scalia's death, the Republicans in the Senate, for the first time in history, never before, denied the president's nominee a hearing and a vote. It's never, ever happened before. And when the shoe was on the other foot with President Reagan, the Democrats in the Senate gave his nominee, Anthony Kennedy, a hearing, a vote, put him on the court. So what happened was totally unfair. It was political. Senator McConnell didn't make any bones about it. Now, of course, new president, new nominee coming to us. Of course we're going to demand a hearing. We're going to ask the hard questions. This is a lifetime appointment. And, you know, we start with some bruised feelings about the way we were treated, how President Obama is being treated, but we've got to meet our constitutional responsibility. We need to fill this vacancy. We've got to make sure we have a good person doing it. I'll keep an open mind.
Well, I hope you don't play that game that McConnell played. You know, I think the American public, and I think this is one of the reasons Donald Trump won, we're just tired of it. And you guys have got to work together.
Exactly. We've got to find, as I said before, what were the three things the day after the election I would have expected if Trump supporters, if Hillary would have won? And one of them is try to find some places where you can work together. I certainly, as a downstater, want to do infrastructure. We need highways and bridges and investment that can build businesses and build our economy. You did miss the Secretary of State, and I want to say a word. I cannot explain what they've done to Mitt Romney to bring him in with a lot of pomp and interview him for Secretary of State, and then within days, Kellyanne Conway, the spokesman for Donald Trump, really just blasts the guy and says, you know, he's a terrible choice. Thinking, who's on first here?
I don't get this at all. And they're bringing Romney back, too. I just wonder if it's all for... Donald Trump's a showman. He's a showman.
Well,
he may be a pawn.
It, you have to wonder who's in charge.
Well,
and you wouldn't want to just humiliate the man if he doesn't have a chance to be Secretary of State. Maybe Senator Corker will emerge, maybe. General Petraeus' name came up yesterday, so, you know, it remains to be seen. But I do not understand what they are doing with Mitt Romney.
All right, and how about your old roommate, Chuck Schumer?
Senate. Well, listen, Chuck and I lived together under the same roof for 20 years, at least two or three days a week. Our families are close. We've gone to dinner together last night. We're looking forward to working together. We've had our differences in the past, but that's the past. You know, we have responsibility to our state, to the nation. It's a new day, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
All right, and you're a Cardinal fan, aren't you?
I grew up in East St. Louis, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Does that answer the question? But I will tell you this. When I got elected, one of my campaign managers says, I have one word of advice for you. I don't want a job. I don't want a bill. I don't want a contract. I want to tell you one thing. An Illinois senator should be for an Illinois team.
Yes.
So I'm doing my best to cheer on the Cubs with healthy respect for the Cardinals, my team of my youth. But I'm doing my best as the Illinois senator to be for an Illinois team.
All right. And I understand you won some craft brews from a senator out of Ohio.
Did.
Yeah.
I did.
Good for you.
Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, is a great guy. He knows baseball inside and out. He's the greatest baseball trivia source I know. And he brought in some beers. Now, I left them here when I went for Thanksgiving. I've come back and I don't see them. So I think maybe my staff has been sampling.
Schumer. Senator Schumer took
it. He's doing that or not.
All right. Hey, you guys are still roommates, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I grew up and got my own place. You know, it's really something.
All right. Wow. You are living the high life. All right. Good talking to you, Senator. We'll do it
good
again next month.
To you guys, too. Thanks
All right. Senator Dick Durbin on WJBC.